for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2006 Memorial Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday evening, May the 28th, 2006. Marvin Sistrunk is a speaker of this service teaching on the spirit of fear.
Well, I've learned about the finger of God. This one here, I've learned about that. Mishmash, is that what it was? Mishmash. Mishmash. I have a problem with it like you did, sister. The hidden place, the hidden things. I learned about that. And I learned about earthworm. I go back home and they say, well, have you learned anything? I said, yeah, I sure have. I learned about earthworms. At a deliverance conference? Yes. It's like our Bible study. We have a Bible study at home every Sunday morning. And it's what it is. We have no outlines or anything like that. We just take chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and sometimes we're in a verse for two or three Sundays. Sometime back, we get those rabbits going, you know, how things. And I don't know, and nobody ever could figure out how we got on hairy legs in a Bible study. But anyway, also, sister talked about food. Well, we entertain a lot. We have a lot of people coming by our house, and this is not a message. I just want to speak towards this. Sometimes we'll invite a couple over for lunch or something, and we'll have 20. You know, that's happened before. So she keeps a pretty good pantry. And before we remodeled our kitchen, we had a walk-in pantry. You go into the kitchen, and you could see the pantry. It looked like, well, you have Kroger's here. It looked like Kroger's, you know, little miniature Kroger's. So we remodeled the kitchen, and we got through with the kitchen. It really looked nice. And people would come in, and they wouldn't say anything how nice the kitchen was. What happened to the pantry? Where did the food go? That's all, you know, here was this nice kitchen and all. They want to know where the food went to. One time I was without work right after I moved back to Plainview from El Paso, and it was a political situation, and in other words, they did away with my job. And it was the fall of the year, and our son worked at Coca-Cola. And he came home with a turkey, and that was the gift that the Coca-Cola plant was giving everybody. And I said, well, who in the church? We already had a turkey. I said, who in the church needs a turkey? So we thought, we said, well, so-and-so, they're having a pretty struggle, good struggle. So I go, and I take the turkey over to this family. I come back, and here's another turkey. Neighbor across the street brought us a turkey. I said, well, so-and-so needs one. So I get take off, and I go and deliver that turkey. I come back, here's another turkey. Couldn't get rid of them turkeys. So I took that turkey to another family. I come home, and guess what? No, a ham. Praise God. God is good. And in 1916, Hattie Green lived in Chicago. She lived in a house that had no electricity, no water, or no heat. She had a son that was injured, hurt his leg real bad, and she went from hospital to hospital trying to get free treatment for that leg. But she didn't want to pay for it. Son contacted gangrene and died. A few years later, Hattie Green died. She died a multimillionaire because she was fearful of losing her money. And she lost her son and her life. Fear. 1945, the American troops landed on the island of Guam. As they took the island and secured it, they took a lot of Japanese prisoners, all except one. One prisoner spent 28 years in a cave. When he finally surrendered, or they finally found him, his thing that he said was, I was fearful of the troops. 28 years bound by fear in a cave. 28 years lost because of one thing, one spirit of fear. Fear imprisons us. If we allow fear to control us, fear imprisons where faith liberates. Fear paralyzes. Faith empowers. Fear disheartens. Fear encourages. Faith encourages. Fear strickens. Faith heals. Fear makes us useless. Faith makes us servable. Fear puts hopelessness at the heart of life, while faith rejoices in its God. Psalms 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The word fear occurs 400 times in 385 verses of the Bible. I'm not going to read each one of them. And most of them are spoken, fear not. Fear not. You say, I don't have any fear. We have a saying up in my part of the country, is you don't know the fight in the dog until you get the dog in the fight. Okay? So you don't know until you're challenged how much if you have fear or not. If a big black bear was to walk into the back of the sanctuary, would there be fear in here? We've heard about your exports, okay? You say, no. Somebody lock that door back there, please. You never know, do you? But if you let fear take a grip on you and a hold on you, it's going to control you. I've seen people in their work, they work with the fear of losing their job. You ever seen people that way? They're miserable in their job because they're fearful they're going to lose it. And what happens is they do lose it because they have fear. Fear of losing your health is another fear. Oh, when I get old, I'm afraid I'm going to be crippled up. There you go. But you see people that way. They speak a curse of fear upon them. And you have people around you, you know. Hey, you're 71 years old. What kind of medicine are you taking? So I'm not taking anything. I take a few vitamins. You don't have arthritis. You don't have... I do have a heart stent. I'll be honest with you on that, but I don't take any medicine. Talking about that heart stent, I went in for that. I had a heart attack, went in, and the doctor sat beside my bed there, and he told me everything that could go wrong. He said, you can have a stroke. He said, you can die from this. You're going to do an angioplasty. He said, you can die from it. He said, sign right here, you know. Not holding me responsible. Right, Doc? Yeah, you got a sign right there. They come in and got me and started me down the hall. And I told Kathy, I had a peace about me I have never had. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying that was a peace that came over me that I just could not describe. Because, hey, if I died, I'd be with my father, you know. If I didn't, so be it. Good. You know, you give me a few more years. But I had no fear. I had no fear. Talked to another gentleman that had the same procedure. He says, I'm scared to death. I rebuked that. I told him, I said, George, don't say those things. I said, you're putting a curse on you. Well, I had to sit and explain a curse to him, you know. He goes to a different denomination and all that stuff, but he was putting a curse on him. And it didn't realize it. And how many of those curses do we put on ourselves because we're fearful? We're fearful. 77% of what we think is negative. Think about it now. Think about it. There's, in your vocabulary, there's a phrase, what if. How many has never used that phrase? Let me see your hands. What if? What if? That's a form of fear. Fear of not being accepted by others. Fear that you won't be accepted in this congregation. Fear that you won't be accepted in your school. Children, a lot of times in school, they all develop this fear, a spirit of fear, because they're in an environment that is scary to them. And they develop fear. They develop the spirit of fear. And if it's not dealt with then, when they're small, that fear is going to travel all through their life, up through their adulthood. They'll have fear. Take a look at, everybody knows about David and Goliath. They know the story. You know the story about David and Goliath. Here's the God of the God's army sitting around, fearful of one man. Fear had overtaken the army of God, and they stood or sat there and did nothing until a little shepherd boy come along, and he rebuked them, and he rebuked Goliath. You know why he had confidence and he didn't have fear? Because God had met him before when he needed help, when he needed to come against the bear and the lion. God met him. God took care of it. And David says, "My God is the same today as he was yesterday. So you uncircumcised Philistine, get ready to meet your maker." He had confidence. He had no fear. Do we have fear sometimes? Yes. I mean, we do. I've had fear. Fort Hood, Texas. Anybody knows where that is? Anybody ever trained at Fort Hood, Texas? That's a military base. And it has a lot of mesquites, rattlesnakes, armadillos down there. And that's where you go through combat training back in the 50s. And he said, "Okay, you're going to crawl from here to there under this machine gun fire." Now, I had fear. Be honest with you. I had fear. One mistake, and those were real bullets that they were shooting over you. I had real fear because those were real bullets. We had men that froze, that could not move. Fear had overtaken them to the point they were paralyzed. I managed to get through it. The first time I went through it. Second time it was better. But we had men that were big guys, you know, athletes. People that would, you know, walk into a bar and clean it out, you know. But as they went through this infiltration course and through this machine gun fire, they would freeze up. Fear. I didn't know anything about deliverance back then. I was only about 22, 23 years old. But I do remember the fear that came over me. I thank the Lord that He gave me strength to overcome it, to get through it. Fear paralyzes and it keeps us from doing the things that we should do. A lot of times God will lay something on your heart. Say, "You need to do this. I want you to do this." And old fear comes along and he says, "Nah, I wouldn't do that if I was you. They won't like it. They won't accept you. You don't belong there." So what do? You don't do what God asked you to do. For the spirit of fear is upon you. The spirit of fear is upon you. You're paralyzed. You're not doing what God wants you to do. Fear of rejection makes us afraid to do anything that could draw criticism or give someone a chance to laugh at us. What will they think of me? What if I turn them off? And what if I mess up? What if? What if? Goes on and on. And you're standing there not doing anything. R.H. Macy failed many times in New York before his stores caught on. You know who Macy's department store is. He opened many stores that failed and went bankrupt and so forth, but he didn't give up. He kept doing it, until he was successful. He could have said, "No, I'm not going to do that. I have failed." Fear would come over him, and he wouldn't do that. English novelist by John Cece got 753 rejection slips before he published 564 books. What if he'd stopped on the first one? Or what if he'd stopped at the 752nd one? They didn't let fear overcome them. Babe Ruth struck out 1,330 times, but he hit 714 home runs. Don't worry about failure. Worry about you'll miss what you're called to do. We're all going to fail at something at some time. We're going to fail. We're going to miss hearing God. We'll look around and see, "Well, nobody else is doing this. Why would God call me to do it? because he sees that you could do it. Don't be like the Philistine cows. I like to use that illustration. You know what happened? The Philistines had the Ark of the Covenant. And they found out it was the wrong thing to have. They was all sick, dying, and whatever. And so one of the priests just one day said, "Hey, you know, this thing is killing us. We need to send it back to the Israelites." They said, "Okay, this is what we'll do. We'll build a new cart, put it up on a new cart, and we'll hitch two milch cows." Now, milch cows are cows that have calves. And you ever try to separate a mama cow from her calf? Almost impossible. So they put these two cows to the cart and pointed them down the road towards the Israelites. And they said, "If the cows go, it's the Lord God wanting that ark back." Well, the cows took off walking. They went a lowing. "Oh, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. I'd rather stay home. I'd rather be with my babies." They went a lowing. Have we ever went a lowing? God, I want you to teach that Sunday. God says, "I want you to teach that Sunday school class." "All right, Lord, but I really don't want to. You know those kids don't like me." That's a lowing. That's a lowing. They went a lowing. And you, when we start complaining like that, we're a lowing. And you know what happened to them when they got the cart back? Huh? Yeah, man, they had a big barbecue with them two cows. So does that tell you something about lowing with the God? If God asks you to do something, it's barbecue time. I like to use that story because it's so true. Especially in the church, you know. Especially in the church. Especially somebody will come up, "Hey, Pastor, I got an idea. We ought to do this, this, this." I said, "Okay, it's your idea. You do it." "Oh, no, not me. Not me." They don't come up to me with ideas too often. But don't let fear overtake you. Don't let fear stop you. Fear didn't stop David. He went on. When they were in the boat, and that was brought up today about Jesus rebuking the storm, he wasn't fearful. He was asleep in the boat, and they all said, "He's down there asleep, and we're about to die. Go wake him up. Let him know what's going on." He knew what was going on. He knew what was going on. He got up, and he stopped the wind. Then there was a time that he was walking on the water, and Peter said, "Hey, I think that's Jesus out there." Jesus said, "Come here, Peter." Peter climbed over the side of the boat. A lot of times we never climb over the side of the boat because fear is on the rail. Fear is right there on the rail. Don't you do that. You're going to drown. You're going to fail. They're going to laugh at you. Go sit down. Do nothing for God. And then you come along and say, "Why isn't God using me?" Because you wouldn't climb over the side of the boat. That's the reason he's not using you. And what happened? Peter climbed over the side of the boat and went to walking. And he says, "Oh, I'm walking on water." Blub, 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 blub. He said, "I'm walking on water." But he had a kind Jesus that reached down and took his hand and pulled him up. All right? Hey, does Jesus ever reach down and got a hold of your hand and pulls you up? Yeah. He's good about those things, isn't he? Yeah. Unbelief puts our circumstances between us and God. But faith puts God between us and circumstances. That was a quote from F.B. Myers. A missionary was assigned to the mission field in Central America someplace, and they had given him a car. When he got there, well, the only way you could start the car was push it, get it started, park it on a hill, or leave it running, because he couldn't ever start it by the key. That went on for a couple of years. He stood there and stayed there, and he got sick, and they brought another missionary, young missionary, in to replace him. And so this missionary was out there explaining the car to him. Says, "You have to park it on a hill, or you have to get the local kids to push you to get it started." Well, the young missionary went around, opened the hood, reached over and twisted the back of the cable, stepped in and started the car. That's all that needed was a twist of a cable. Do we sometimes need to have our cables twisted just a little bit? Is there a short circuit sometimes between you and God? Some lives with the fear not wanting to be fixed. Some live with fear not wanting to be fixed. Some people live in fear and want to be, stay in fear. Some people you think that's the only way they can function because that's all they know. They haven't taken the time or nobody's taken the time to come and to teach them different. That they can be broken or those fear spirits can be broken. The Holy Spirit will take away all fears if you allow it. Remember, if God calls you to do something or tells you to do something, He knows you can do it. So just get out of the boat and start walking. That's our problem. We can't get out of the boat. We can't get out of the boat. Isaiah 40:31, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will keep you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Wow. The little boy was storming, and Mama tucked him in and says, Mommy, will you sleep with me tonight? She says, no, now just go to sleep. Yeah, it'll be all right. And, well, I mean, no lightning and no thunder was going on. And he asked again, and she said, no. Says, son, said, I have to go and sleep with Daddy. Little boy lay there, big sissy. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. David wrote, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Paul wrote, if God be for us, oh, wow. That's right. Those guys knew what they were talking about. We can choose to be bitter or better. From our experience, fear and feelings of uncertainty are a part of life. James wrote, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. That's all you have to do is ask God. Ask God. So if you have a spirit of fear, what are you going to do? Get rid of it. It's just like temptation. Don't let it get a hold on you. You nip it in the bud. You nip it in the bud before it gets to growing. Because once fear gets a hold of you, it keeps growing if you let it and you do nothing about it. And pretty soon you are helpless and you can do nothing for God. Because you'll see that fear standing there. That fear is going to be on the boat rail and won't let you cross over it. Fear. Psalms 37 is almost all, if you'll read Psalm, I'm going to read Psalms 37, but most all of it is promises that God has for you. The Holy Scriptures contain a grand total of 8,810 promises. 7,487 promises from God to man. Take time to look them up sometime. You've got 7,487 promises that God has made to you. And is God a man of His Word? Hey, that's a lot of promises. I mean, that's one for every day. For many days. Let's see, that's 365. That's 20 years? No. Yeah. Almost 20 years of promises. I can live on that. I can live on that. When you feel all alone, take this promise. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Promises, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. The older you grow, the stronger your faith should be. We forget about that and we allow ourselves to be held as prisoners because of fear. Because of fear. Older we get, seem like we should be stronger in the Lord. Because if we're walking with God and doing the things that He wants us to do, we are building a pattern for God. There's a song, He did it yesterday, He'll do it again. Okay. But see, if He did it yesterday, if He come and provided for you yesterday, healed you yesterday, is He going to heal you tomorrow? Okay. Will He heal you tomorrow? She says no. She's shaking her head. He won't heal you tomorrow? Oh! All right! Woo! That's on tape. Okay. All right! All right. Thank you, sister. Thank you. I appreciate that. All right. Used to be in a denomination every Sunday night. We had a church meeting, and everybody testify. It was testify time. And they always started off with, God loves me today. I love God today. God has met my needs today. We had, and that was a routine. And it got to the point, it really didn't mean anything. So we had a young man stand up. He says, God loves me all the time, not just today. And that's the same way, sister. If he heals you today, you don't need healing tomorrow. All right. Hey, I like that. That's all right. You're paying attention. You're paying attention. The other night, you weren't here the other night when I spoke with you. Some of these people can't pay attention, I know. I know they can't, but I put them to a test. Some of them don't know where their chin is. Somebody said, which chin? You know, since I've become a Christian and walking the Lord, got filled with the Holy Spirit, I have had more fun, you know. I really have. I have had more fun in church serving God because I see things that are fun, that are enjoyable. And I don't let that old fear come into me and take over. I don't let that fear stop me. What can they do to you? You know, what can they do to you? Well, they could kill you. Well, good. Just quicker way home. You know, won't have to take out the trash next week. That's the thing around our house. Our youngest son, that was his job at home. Take out the trash. There was four children, and every day, you come home, his name is William Aaron, but we called him Aaron. I said, Aaron, did you take out the trash? You didn't tell me to. Aaron, every day you get home from school, you take out the trash. Next day, you didn't take out the trash. Forgot to tell me. You didn't tell me. Well, you go through this. Well, they're all gone now. It's Marvin, you didn't take the trash out. I know why he left home. For two people, we get a lot of trash. Man. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. That was James 4:7. Was that told here than that? Oh, it was? Okay. Yeah. I think Brother Thompson told that about the Judge Judy's husband is a Supreme Court or was a Supreme Court justice, and she told him to take out the trash, and he said, well, I'm a Supreme Court justice. And she said, well, put your robe on. Well, at the end of a teaching, I generally do corporate deliverance. The sister this afternoon, how many were here this afternoon? Okay. I think she covered everything in the book. I know she breathed twice. But she did a good job. She did. All right. But you know, I think the Lord is saying, we've had a lot of deliverance all this week. We've cast out a lot of demons. But there's some people that need healing here tonight. And I think we need to have healing, a time of healing. And I'd like LaVon to come, maybe Sammy and Kathy. We'll just form some healing lines. We'll have healing here tonight. See, healing is part of your deliverance. Some of you got a lot of stuff cast out. Maybe you need some healing now. Maybe you need that wounded heart closed up. Maybe you need those wounded emotions sealed. So, as you know sign language. No. This right hand. She's just going to play the right hand. Oh, thank you, Father. Praise you, Jesus. First thing we're going to stand. Repeat after me. Father, I have no fear. Fear is gone. What do you ask me to do? I will do it without fear. I will do it without fear of man. I will do it with a glad heart, and I will rejoice all the way. Fear has no hold on me. I am set free from fear, from fear, from fear. Amen. You may be seated. And those that are needing a special healing tonight. Now let me clarify something. And I did this in a conference. I had taught on deliverance. And the local pastor says, now, it was like on Wednesday night. I said, every Wednesday night we have a healing line. Can you incorporate some healing into your deliverance? I said, sure. Crowd about like this. We took them through a little deliverance. I said, okay, we're going to have a healing line. I want all those to come down front that need healing and expect to be healed. Don't come if you don't expect. I had people to go over and sit back down. That's true. When you come before God, you expect something from Him. Okay? So come expecting if you need a healing tonight. Come. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, we just come. We lift up Glenn to you in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, we speak to these vocal cords. We speak to the esophagus area. We speak to all the muscles in his throat. In the name of Jesus, we declare healing in his throat. We declare healing in this brother. Father, he is depending and he is expecting you to heal him. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, he is going to be healed. He expects it. In the name of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Say, I'm healed. In the name of Jesus, you're going to be healed. Amen. God bless.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.